This is Michael from Colorado, a proud Patreon supporter of IVNV Podcast, and you're listening to the best marginal analysis out there, IVNV.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVNV Podcast. This is our 350th episode. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
So we are fresh off the three of us hanging out. We were able to hang out together yesterday. I was thinking about this. I think this might be the first time that we've gone to a Cubs game together, not as part of the bus trip.
Yeah, it's about time.
I know.
I mean, it needs to be a yearly occurrence.
What took us so long? Right. Yeah, we should make this an annual thing because it was really fun.
We didn't go when tickets were like $4 a piece. We waited until
they're essentially free.
And just hanging, just the hanging, being able to hang out with each other wasn't enough of a motivating factor. I mean, so the Cubs had nothing on the field to make us want to go. We don't really care for hanging out with each other.
Well, they don't want us to come back because of the way they played.
So. Right. Although I was thinking today that I assume, Andy, you'll be applying for some sort of Uber job up in Chicago. Is that right?
So for people listening, I took a wrong turn, basically. I mean, and so then we were stuck kind of on the streets on the outskirts of downtown Chicago, and it took us about 45 minutes to go four blocks. And so the whole time,
45 minutes,
I'm driving and everybody else is just making fun of me like crazy because I was getting so upset. And Kurt kept announcing that we were about 300. He was looking at the directions. He kept announcing that we were 350 feet away from our turn. Oh, now we're 342 feet away from our turn.
But it was like 8 minutes between announcements. It's right up here. It's right up here. It's 317 feet.
Yeah, we could have walked there.
And I was swearing probably, you know, way more than I normally do. Very clean.
That was fun. That was the highlight of my day.
At least, yeah, it ended up being a positive. So we just laughed for 45 minutes straight.
Andy didn't laugh. No, he didn't.
Well, I mean, I think we would have gotten home about 11 o'clock instead of 11:30 or whatever, at least to my house.
Yeah.
Kurt probably didn't go home till about 1. Is that right, Kurt? That's
a little closer to 1:30, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. I got home at like 12:30. It was a long day.
It was.
Long day, but it was a blast.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got to hang out. We took our ultimate IVNV Patreon supporter, the Quad City's own Jason Nunn, to the Cubs game. That's one of the perks at the highest level on our Patreon campaign, is that the three of us will take you to a Cubs game and buy you a few beers, some pizza after the game. And it was a lot of fun. It was pretty awesome. And then we got to hang out with some listeners after the game. We did a meetup, and I'm always hesitant to list names because I'll surely forget someone, but I think I have everybody. So I wanted to give everybody a shout out, but guys, as I go through this, if you hear me forgetting someone, jump in with it. But, Peter, Heather, I did forget Heather's friend's name, but that's okay. Will. 'Cause he's a Cardinals fan. Will. Okay.
His name is Will.
Will, but he was a Cardinals fan. Danny Rocket and Nicole were there. Tori, Mike, Jay, Brock, Elizabeth, and her friend. I can't remember his name. Do you remember, Kurt? We met them out in the bar. I don't remember his name. Doug and his wife and their friends or cousins, I believe. So did I miss anyone there? I don't know. I kind of raced through them.
I wouldn't know if you did.
Did you say Danny? Did you already say Danny?
Yeah. But yeah.
And Tori. Did you say Tori?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then Rob, did you say Rob? I'm just going to keep saying every single.
Just repeat all of them.
You already said. And we also got to hang out with our Chris Bryant bobbleheads.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And carry them around all day.
Look in at, fact, I'm going to go. Do you have yours handy there?
Look at this Corey? Right here for the live so viewers. Can,
look at him bobble. That's beautiful.
The listeners can look at the resemblance. Like, put him so he's face on, not in profile.
Like this?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to get to focus. This is great right. viewing for the audio.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is good podcasting right here. But
oh, my God. It looks like his eyes move with when I move him, doesn't it? What? That is weird.
Yeah, well, so dreamy eyes, but not really done justice on the bobblehead.
Oh, it's because his bobblehead. The reason it looks like his eyes are following you is because he's got snake eyes.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say he looks slightly cross-eyed. His brows are a little too pronounced and angled downward, so he looks kind of like the evil Bizarro Chris Bryant. Maybe
look how crooked his mustache is.
Oh, I don't think mine's that.
You see that?
That bad. You have a special one.
That was the one last one off the line.
I can't get it to focus, but man, his mustache is completely crooked.
I love it. Yeah. Not much of a resemblance. I did have a guy in the when we were walking over to the bar yell out the window if I wanted to sell it. And I told him it's sold for $100, and he told me I was crazy.
And you snapped it off fast. I was like, you must have been thinking about
That was just the first, like, that's the, if he actually whipped out $100, that would have been a deal done. But anything less than that, I'd rather just let my kid break it.
Right. Right. Yeah. When we went and got the Javier Baez ones in Peoria, my daughters lasted all of about 25 minutes once we got home. The bat broke, so now he's just standing there without a bat.
You should put other funny objects in his hands.
A toothbrush. I probably could stick a toothpick in there. That'd look all right. Anyway, the game was not great, but the hangs were. That was fun. I had a lot of fun. And we missed the celebration after the game. We had some people in our Patreon group on Facebook ask us if we were there and tweet at us. And they didn't say that they were going to celebrate after the game. And so we just thought, oh, let's get out of here and go meet up with people and have fun. But
yeah.
And even somebody said they would stop listening if we missed the celebration at the end.
Well, I guess minus one.
We had to take care of our own fans while the Cubs sprayed their fans with champagne. We didn't spray anybody with champagne, but
but we were disappointed to learn that happened. And we, you know, we could have stayed. It would have been something doable. So
yeah, here's the thing about that. I'm not really that upset that I missed it because, to be honest, I thought it looked a little bit awkward. I'm totally fine with them celebrating. Like, I think it's good. This is a young team. They're having fun. I've got absolutely no problem with it. But it's just weird after a loss for them to not, like, you're just not used to seeing celebrations where, like, okay, everybody's going to go out in the dugout in the clubhouse and then come back out and we're going to throw a party. It just seems kind of weird. And I mean, I'm sure it was fine, but there, like, I think because people didn't know it was going to happen, there weren't many people there. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not really kicking. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not really, like, kicking myself for not going to it. Or not sticking around.
I'm not really either. I mean, I would have been cool to see it, but I'm not bummed that I didn't.
You know what was even better was being able to see before the game.
Oh,
They played a montage on the big video board of some of the best moments from the season. It was pretty apparent to me, and maybe somebody who's been to some games a couple days before Saturday could confirm this, but it was pretty apparent that the Cubs players themselves hadn't yet seen this video because they were all out of the dugout watching the board themselves. And I gotta tell you, it was stirring to me to watch it. It moved me to see the players down there watching it. And then they all were out of the dugout with their hats raised, saluting the fans. And then there was a graphic up on the board that said, congratulations on your 2015 postseason appearance. And that was just kind of an emotional moment. I just thought it was a really striking, great moment that we got to see.
Yeah,
and that was the best moment of the whole ballpark experience for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the, you know, people watching on TV, I'm not sure if they showed that video on the TV broadcast. I'm not sure, but it seemed like something that they maybe would. But it was a good video, and yeah, and you know, it's, and we kind of talked about this as we were sitting there, and it's like, you know what, that's what, imagine what that would have been like if they did not have those giant jumbotrons out there. If all it was, because before this year, what it would have been is Andrew Bellison, the Cubs PA announcer, saying, "Congratulations to your 2015 Cubs for their playoff appearance or birth or whatever," and that would have been it. And so, like,
having, they might have showed something on those little TVs up there, but
sure,
yeah. But anybody that's not sitting behind it wouldn't be able to see it. I mean, it just, like, that's what makes, and I think this is something that I really noticed in this game, is that I love those boards. I love them. Yeah. I think
I was talking to Beth about this very topic, is that going to the game, it's such a great game experience now, because it still retains all the charm, all the nostalgia, all of the pageantry of Wrigley Field from the past. And then adding to that, just everything that the boards bring to it improves the experience. It doesn't detract from it. And so I think the experience at Wrigley is so great right now.
Yes. Yes.
And I had my doubts, you know, I had my doubts that, you know, I thought there were going to be these big garish video boards that were always demanding and vying for your attention, and they really don't. All they do is add to your experience, because you can always look up and see within the same style as the old scoreboard, where they're at in the batting order, how many pitches the pitcher has and things like that. And
what type of pitch he threw.
Exactly. And so it's so great.
Yeah, I love it too. I love it graphically too, being the graphic design nerd of the group. They did a really good job with, like, the old looking green and white stuff with the script on it and stuff. It looks really great.
Now, apparently they had a one of their wipes graphic wise was Pennants, but I don't believe it ever
allegedly,
like, a bunch of Pennants like kind of wash across the screen, according to one of the fans there, but I never saw it. So
yeah, it looked awesome.
Nearby fans.
Well, you know what?
He kept saying, watch, here it comes.
That's, you know what? Like, sometimes okay, you just, whatever. Sometimes, you know, sometimes some people pay attention more than others, and you guys are, you know, chit chatting and distracted. I'm really just wanting to take it all in. I want to experience everything.
Yeah. I was just there to drink beer. I didn't care about the game.
Yeah.
I would say a little qualification to it is, one thing that maybe bothered me or was too obtrusive at times was the walk-up music, but I still, like, am entertained by it. See, it's not horrible.
I think it really works, especially with this team right now, because the walk-up music is kind of fun. You know, like when Starlin Castro comes up to that song and everybody in the stadium is clapping and stuff. I mean, it just kind of seems, and Kurt, I think we were talking about it at the ballpark, and you just said, you know, there's so much, or maybe one of you guys said it, there's so much downtime in baseball. Mm-hmm. There's so much downtime. And those boards do a great job of filling that downtime without being over the top, or just, it's not overly commercialized, I guess. I mean, it is somewhat.
Except for what's your favorite color.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's just it. It is a little bit. But it's not over the top, you know, and it's just like, I don't know. I love being able to look up. I pay attention to games. I sit there, you know, I'm paying attention. But sometimes I would like to see a replay, even if I saw it the first time, because, I don't know, maybe there's a giant pole right in front of me and I can't see. You know, it's just, I really enjoy having those replays, and just, I don't know. I just think they're so good.
I love that, too, that you get a glimpse into the dugout at times of how the players are acting or reacting to things. That's something you would never have seen before if you're actually present at a game.
Yeah, I think the Cubs worked really hard to get this right, to get the video board thing right. And maybe early on, you know, we didn't go to games early in the season, and so maybe it kind of took them a little bit of a learning process to get where they're at with it now. But I'm so glad that those video boards are there. I don't regret them doing it at all. I think they're awesome.
Yeah,
So we covered that topic I didn't expect to touch on. So let's get a few things out of the way here at the beginning before we move into Cubs talk. First off, since our last episode, the Cubs have clinched a playoff spot. They will be in the wild card game. And we have decided that some people have been asking us what we're going to do about the playoffs and stuff like that. So we've decided that we will try to have an episode after every game, after every playoff game. The plan is to do a live broadcast every night after the Cubs playoff game. What could impact that is if we happen to make it to any of those games. And if that's the case, I don't know what we're going to do. I guess we'll figure that out when that happens. So the plan is every night that the Cubs play, we'll do a live broadcast right after the game, and then we will have an episode up that night, and you can listen to it in the morning on your commute. So, and I also thought about if we should try to host some game watches for, you know, people that are a little bit more local to us. And I'm not real sure about that right now. I don't think we'll have one for the wild card game, but if they get past that game, I think maybe at some point that might happen. But I was thinking about this, and we have listeners all over the country and all over the world. And if you think that it would be fun, especially if you don't live in an area with a lot of other Cubs fans, if you like the idea of getting together with other Cubs fans to watch games that are extremely important, and you would consider hosting a game watch at a local bar or something like that, let me know, and we would be happy to advertise it to all of our listeners that might live in your area. I think it'd be kind of cool if we could kind of be a hub to try to spread the word for some game watches in areas, because, I mean, pretty much any, you know, major city, I think we have multiple listeners, and so... if we could spread that information out there and help people throw parties, I think that would be kind of cool. And bars would be happy to host you. I don't know. I just think it'd be a great opportunity to either celebrate or commiserate with other Cubs fans. So shoot me an email, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y at IVMV.com, if that's something that you would be interested in doing. Okay, Kurt. So I mentioned that the Cubs have locked up a spot in the wild card game. So why don't you kind of get into the specifics of where we're at and kind of do like a playoff picture update?
Sure. Unfortunately, it's, you know, they've lost some ground to the Pirates, you know, having lost the first couple games. And so now they're sitting 5.5 back for that first wild card spot. So the magic number for the Pirates on home field is now 3. So yeah, that's looking less and less likely. And then, of course, St. Louis with the division is still, I guess, I think 5.5 ahead of Pittsburgh then. So, yeah, the division is out of reach, and home field wild card looks to be out of reach. Technically not, but the Pirates have won 8 straight, and the Cubs have lost 3 in a row. So they're kind of sliding backwards in that department, but... still, they're in.
Yeah, I'm ready to give up on the home field advantage for the wild card game. I don't know. It's something that I didn't want. You know, a few weeks ago I talked about not wanting the wild card game to be at Wrigley. I didn't trust Cubs fans with this game being hosted at Wrigley. I've kind of changed my mind on that, and I'll explain why later in the episode. But I don't think it matters because I think that game is going to be in Pittsburgh or St. Louis.
So I did misspeak earlier. Pittsburgh is only 2.5 behind St. Louis, so they could still catch the Cardinals for the division. So technically, it could be in St. Louis,
yeah,
instead of Pittsburgh. But
well, in Friday morning, I really wanted the Cubs to take care of business, you know, and get that game at Wrigley, the wild card game, but. I think right now my dream scenario is a tie between the Pirates and Cardinals atop the division, and that would force a game 163 between those two games, and then the loser would have to turn around and play the Cubs. I like that idea.
Yeah. Well, especially if they burn their ace pitchers in that tiebreaker.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they would or not. I'm not sure.
Well, and I think we saw yesterday that the ace pitcher, their number two, seemed to do okay too.
Right,
but the Cardinals. Pirates, I mean, right. I don't know what the are they just I mean, Martinez is officially out
right
now, so I don't know. He's not, I suppose, technically their ace, but he had potential to pitch one of those game ones.
Right. Yeah.
So their pitching depth just got a big hit again.
Yeah, I think that scenario would be really good for the Cubs, especially if Pittsburgh won that game 163, because I'm thinking about, like, I think the Cardinals, so then the Cubs would be facing the Cardinals in a wild card game, but I think the Cardinals would be really deflated and ripe for knocking off in one game, because they would have been the best team in baseball all season, the best record, and then they'd lose that division on the last day, and I think it would be pretty awesome. Could you imagine if they did not make it past the wild card game?
That would be
after just playing as well as they did all year long. I would love to see the Cardinals or the Pirates sneak up.
It'd be
on
like
them.
The antithesis to the 2006 team or whatever, the right. one that had like 83 wins and won the World Series.
Yeah,
man. And the Cubs have done well against their top of the rotation pitching too.
Right. Well, and especially as of late, you know, this in September. But you think about how crazy a Cubs Cardinals series would be, an NLCS series would be. Imagine a one game. I mean, that would be nuts.
It would be.
And it would really suck if it didn't go our way. I'm just gonna, living in,
but I didn't know if I should say it.
Living around a lot of Cardinals fans and working with Cardinals fans, that would not be. I think the Cubs match up well with them in a series, but I think the Cubs match up better with the Cardinals than they do the Pirates. So, I really hope that the Cubs have the opportunity to play the Cardinals either way, no matter where it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the radio team was commenting on just how jarring the difference is between Gerrit Cole and Francisco Liriano. Like, their repertoire is so different, and they're both so effective in their mix of pitches that's really hard on an opposing team if you have to see those guys game one and game two in a series.
Yeah. Liriano was... That changeup was nasty yesterday. So,
let's get into this.
Dark contrast.
Yeah, let's get into this Pirates series. I mean, what you've mentioned the pitching. I think my biggest takeaway for this series is that the Pirates pitching is maybe a little better than I thought. I didn't think they were quite as good as they are, but like Liriano pitched really well on Saturday, and the one thing that stood out to me is he managed to accomplish something that I can't accomplish getting that word out. he accomplished something that most starters have had trouble with, you know, haven't been able to accomplish against the Cubs lineup this year, and that's keeping the pitch count down. He was really efficient and effective, and the Cubs just could not figure out his off-speed stuff.
Yeah, his changeup was devastating to Cubs hitters.
Yeah, and from where we were sitting, it was hard to see his plate location. I mean, we could see the speed and some usually kind of inside outside, but it's obvious he was locating pretty well on the off-speed stuff. And so it's like, I think it illustrates too how hard that is. But then when a pitcher like that who has a great changeup is on and can throw the changeup and a slider for a strike, like how almost impossible it is to hit the ball hard.
And then he started mixing an even slower off-speed pitch, like a slower curveball later in the game. Mm-hmm. So he definitely had a plan of attack as late into the game as they start seeing him for the third time. He's going to mix in another pitch that's, you know, 79 as opposed to the 85-mile-an-hour changeup and then the low-to-mid-90s fastball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked good. He made a lot of good hitters look kind of silly on some swings.
Yeah, and then so, I mean, with the Pirates, I mean, maybe just like any other team, I mean, you got to get to their middle relief when you're facing guys like those. Melanson is another guy that's going to be pretty difficult to beat if it comes down to the end of the game.
Yeah, yeah. And after looking so good all season, Cardinals pitching just looked so good. But man, I would much rather face Cardinals pitching right now than what we saw from the Pirates. And I don't know why I thought that Pirates pitching really wasn't that good, but this, I changed my mind this weekend.
Well, I think we knew Cole was as good as advertised, but I guess yesterday I didn't, Liriano didn't worry me until yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, and haven't we seen the Cubs beat Cole earlier this season? Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that maybe colored our view of it a little bit.
But I also think it's just really important to remember who we will be sending in that game. And all signs indicate, I don't know, for the last like 4 months that he's going to have a good game. You know, like
sort of like robotically good.
Right. Yeah. So I guess there's that to be really confident about, you know. So with this Pirate series, my question to you guys is, how bad is it that the Cubs lost this series?
Huh. It's hard to quantify or qualify. It doesn't worry me too much, again, considering that the pitching matchups weren't what they will be in this should it be the wild card game. You know, you had Cole went against is it Hendricks?
Friday was Hendricks, right?
Yeah.
And Saturday was Hamill.
So I don't know. I mean, I guess I...
Oh, yeah, Lester was Friday. Lester was Friday.
Right. Oh.
Friday seems so long ago. It's Sunday already.
Never mind.
I think there's a lot to be said for being the team that's playing hot at the moment and having momentum going into the postseason. But with that being said, the Cubs have shown quite an ability to have a short memory coming off a win or a loss and attacking the next game with the vigor that, you know, Joe expects of them and the fans expect of them. So I think that the Cubs aren't maybe your typical team when it comes to, you know, a couple losses, like really having a major effect on them.
Right. I agree. I don't think it matters. I think it was going to be a stretch for the Cubs to overtake the Pirates as it was. And this series loss, it just kind of solidifies that it's not going to happen. And I think that you would maybe think that this series loss could impact the Cubs' confidence in facing the Cardinal or the Pirates in the postseason. But like you just said, Andy, I really think that this team doesn't let losses get to them. And I don't think a loss one day shakes their confidence the next day. They just, they play loose and they're so potent. I think that they know, I think it kind of surprises these guys when they lose. So I just don't think like a week from, you know, Wednesday, I don't think they're going to look back and be like, oh man, those Pirates took 2 out of 3 from us at Wrigley last week. Huh?
No,
I just don't think so.
Yeah. No, well, that being said,
go ahead.
You got the showstopper Arrieta going out there. I mean, look how he's pitching now after 2 losses or to the Pirates, and it doesn't seem to be bothering him too much.
Right.
And that will, regardless of what happened before, this will be the scenario. You know, they'll have total confidence in him.
What I would like to see in the last spate of games here is them rotating through days off for certain guys, but also still burying some of these opponents they have left. I mean, the Brewers, and who else are they playing? The Reds.
Reds.
Mm-hmm. So, and the Royals tomorrow.
I'd like to see, yeah. Well, and seeing them go out and playing well against the Royals, I think would be really welcome. But, you know, take care of business, but also rotate through just a day off type of thing with the guys that they really are going to need to rely on.
Yeah. I think because they're pretty much set with their position, I would like to see guys like Rizzo getting a day off or two. You know, like maybe against the Royals tomorrow and then early in the week. Jeremy, I think he shared it in our Patreon group that Madden said that he's not going to give Rizzo any days off unless he asks for them. And I can't really see Rizzo asking for a day off. But he has played a ton. Like, I don't, he hasn't had a day off yet this year, right? I don't think he has.
I feel like he's had one. Yeah.
Well, I think he played in 153 games, it said, and they haven't. Well, maybe he did get one. Well, no, shucks. He's got nine left. They've got nine. Well,
I mean, maybe he had a pinch hit in that game or something.
That's true. That's possible. Either way, like, I don't know. He's been hit by so many baseballs this season. And to be honest, I think he's looked a little bit sluggish the last few weeks. And I would just like to see him get a few days off early this week, then come back, play out the rest of the season, get a couple days off before that wild card game, you know, Monday and Tuesday. But I don't know. I'm also at the point where I pretty much trust Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I trust Joe Maddon to run his team how he sees fit. So
I think tomorrow would make sense as an off day because it was originally scheduled as an off day, wasn't it?
Right.
Before that, then they made it as a makeup. So yeah. I don't know if you're going to do it. Maybe that's the one and just say, well, he was going to have that day off anyways. And
well, that's where I kind of thought if they did Monday and then gave him Tuesday off, the first game of the Red Series. And then, you know, that's kind of 2 days off in a row and play 5 days or whatever and then get a couple more days off. So I don't know. So where, okay. So, I mean, that's kind of what I guess to expect on the field or with the Cubs here in the last week, but where should we fans, where are you guys emotionally in the next week? Where should we be emotionally here for the next week?
Gosh, try to keep the good vibes going.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's like, you know, when you're in school and you had to give a speech and but it was still far enough away. You knew it was coming, but it was far enough away. You didn't worry about it yet. I'm still there. Like, I'm not. It was when that wild card game comes, I'm going to be a wreck.
Right.
But up until that point, I can just sort of like, I'm a good procrastinator. So I can just put it out of my mind and just enjoy the end of the season. That's my hope.
I'm starting to feel it though.
Yeah, I can feel it kind of creep up on me, and it gets me a little bit fidgety. But I'm hoping to keep calm.
I think, like, mentally, I just kind of understand that the regular season wins and losses don't really matter from here on out. Of course, I want to see the Cubs win every day, but how they do between now and the end of the season, it is not going to affect how I think that they might do in the wild card game and beyond. I kind of see this next week as like the calm before the storm. And I think this is our last chance to sit back, take a deep breath, get caught up on our sleep. Cause it's, you know, there's going to be hopefully a lot of late nights for us here in the next, I don't know, month. That'd be nice. But I think I'm just going to kind of use the next week to sort through all of the Cubs emotions that I feel. Like, I'm kind of like mentally preparing myself for all of the different scenarios that I could experience. And I think really this is kind of like an opportunity to just kind of like sit back and reflect back on this season and realize how special it's been. I think this is something that we've talked about here over the last few weeks as we're coming up on the end of the season. But I mean, this is the point where like, it's almost like I think that what happens in the postseason will kind of it could potentially kind of change our opinions or I guess just how we feel about the 2015 season. And so I kind of feel like this is my opportunity to look at the 2015 regular season isolated and that I don't have any postseason stuff to either make it seem more glorious or more disastrous. It's just, this is the 2015 regular season. And so that's kind of where I'm at with it.
One more thought for me on that is that when we made our predictions early in the year, before the year, we talked about like floor and ceiling and that like the floor was somewhere around 500 and the ceiling was like squeaking into the playoffs and, you know, maybe snagging a wild card. And so now you look at that compared to what you expected coming into this season and think about, basically what we're saying is that the best, if that's your ceiling, the best case scenario happened. Like the best we could have expected happened this year. And so, right. Yeah, I do think you have to sort of like take this week and realize like, for what maybe other people expected more out of him this year, but either way, essentially the best thing that could have happened.
Right. Yeah.
And so you can't forget that nobody expected them to be this good.
Right. Yeah. It's just, and to be honest, I'm kind of glad that things are tied up or I guess just kind of like everything's kind of resolved right now. I'm glad that in the next week, I can just kind of prepare for the postseason, that I don't have to like fret about, okay, we've got a one game lead for the second wild card spot with a week left. Like, it's just kind of nice. It's like, okay, it's all taken care of. We can just like sit and wait for the fun stuff.
Yeah, who are we playing, Pittsburgh or St. Louis?
Right. And yeah, yep. Okay, we have some listener questions, but before we get to those, if you enjoy our podcast and you shop on Amazon.com, don't forget that you can help us pay the podcasting bills by going to IVNV.com and then clicking on the Amazon link on the right side of the page. By doing so, your shopping experience is the same and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So the first email here is from Nick in Vancouver, Canada. He says, second time, long time. I think his first time was last week. I really enjoyed the last podcast. Paul Sullivan is definitely an asshat. I love Theo's quotes in the articles, though. It seemed obvious that Theo knows Paul is an idiot and didn't want to deal with him. Awesome. Now to my very serious question. Do you think we could get Mark Grace to take over for Coomer during the playoffs? He was great on Diamondbacks broadcast. We could probably pay part of his salary in Benny's Beverage Depot gift cards, and Chris Bryant could be his chauffeur to keep him out of DUI trouble. Thoughts?
Give him lits. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I didn't really have much on it other than, I don't know.
Well, I think the idea of Coomdog calling playoff games is a little bit discouraging. I don't know. I hate to say that too, because I really do want to like the guy, but
I don't mind it. I like it. I wouldn't like him doing the play by play, but I mean, that's what we're going to get. I like him as the color commentator. I do like Mark Grace as a commentator. I think it's been a long time since I've heard him. But
So while you guys are watching the playoff games, will you be listening to the TV broadcast announcers, or will you be like trying to sync it up so that you can listen to Pat Hughes and Coomdog?
I will be listening to the TV broadcast, but I do love listening to highlights with Pat's call, though, like for the big plays.
Yeah.
So I do really like to hear his call, you know, after the fact of all the big plays in the game.
See, and I really, until I asked you that question, I thought that I would listen to the TV. But when you think about what we would have to listen to, it might be better to listen to Pat. I mean, I don't know. I might just do that. And especially, I think if it came down to a World Series clinching inning, I think I would flip it over to listen to Pat Hughes call it.
Yeah, I don't know what I'll do. I'll probably start with the TV and see until it really bothers me.
Right. Until you've had enough Joe Buck. You've had enough Joe
Buck. But I don't
Buck
think or... it's going to, like on the Roku app with MLB TV, you can just do it right there and it syncs it for you. But
right.
With the playoffs, I won't be able to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to figure out my streaming situation.
You'll get it figured out.
Yeah, I think, what I am going to do actually is I'm going to buy Sling TV for a month, and you get TBS with that, so it's $20 a month. Anybody else who's in the same boat as me, I think that should work. Because all the NL games will be on TBS until the World Series, I think.
And then that's
so if
on
you
Fox.
Buy Sling and you stream, you can get it legally that way.
Okay. Let's see. This next one is from Chad in Kentucky. He says, a couple of shows back, you mentioned that the Cubs have scored more runs in the fifth than any other inning. Ironically, it's the same inning that Coomdog does play-by-play on the radio. Man, we are Coomdog heavy at the beginning. I also see in the chat here, Taylor says you can get a free 30-day trial of Sling TV. So for those of you that have
a good time to do it,
cut the cord, that might be something to think about. Okay, so ironically, it's the same inning that Coombdog does the play-by-play on the radio. I don't know how many times this year I ended up yelling at the radio asking Coombdog to tell me what happened. When I hear the fans in the background cheering, I'm not trying to crush Coombdog because he seems like a likable guy and he tries hard, but it's brutal listening to him do play by play. And it takes him forever to say what happened. If WBBM is hell bent on him doing play by play, can they at least move him to an inning that isn't as pivotal as the fifth? That'd be awesome. If they were like, you know, there's a lot of action in the fifth inning, Coombdog. We're going to go ahead and move you to the second inning. So Ron, you're going to have to, you know, Pat, you're going to have to time up, you know, sync your whenever your bodily movement that you do in the fifth inning, you're going to have to sync it up to the fifth.
He just shakes a leg, you know.
Sometimes yeah. Reappear sooner than other days.
I don't know what inning would be less pivotable. Oh my gosh. Pivotal.
We haven't had a lot of sleep in the last couple of days. Maybe we should note that.
But I mean, because if you slide him earlier, I mean, it kind of takes away from Pat being the guy. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. Like, I'm still trying to like him.
Maybe in the playoffs, Pat can just kind of, you know, suck it up and do the whole game. I would
be all for that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, figure something out. Well, I mean, okay, so unless Lynn is picked up for national broadcasts, maybe he could fill in on the radio too. They could do kind of like a three-man booth.
But I think
that's a great idea.
But he would be picked up on Fox, and I don't know, wouldn't he?
Well, I mean,
is Fox doing any games? The AL games? Who's doing the AL games?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's not worth. I don't know.
Who cares?
Well, I was just saying that might be cool if they could. I mean, if he's not, if they decide not to do like a hometown announcer for the game, and Len could jump in the radio booth and do some stuff, that would be good. Okay. I don't have the name of who this one's from. Shoot. Well, crap. Anyways, whoever it is says, the Cubs just lost to the Pirates. I don't believe in curses, but I do believe this team has weaknesses. I just watched Soler and Baez strike out swinging on the exact same pitch while Castro stood 90 feet away. So this is Friday's game when Castro was stranded at third to end the game. I'm worried this team won't go into the wildcard game with the belief they need to succeed. Do we have enough confidence? Rizzo looks tired and doesn't have the spark that he did a few weeks ago.
I don't know if I buy the belief to succeed, or do we have enough confidence? We've talked about that quite a bit on the podcast, and I think we've established that we at least think that they seem to be pretty confident, and maybe that comes from just being young, you know. But
and I think it's easy to for those two games to say, oh, the Cubs couldn't hit, the Cubs don't have it, and I think you miss that those two pitchers were really good on those. Sometimes pitchers are really good and tough. Major league pitchers can get through most lineups.
Yeah, and so, I think too that they with having such a young lineup, I think that our these players are seeing they're seeing pitchers for the first and second time, and so pitchers like Gerrit Cole are going to look really good because, you know, these guys haven't got a look. Well, now they did. They got another look at them, and so in a wild card game they might be able to kind of, you know, have a better plan of attack on him. But I agree with you, Andy. I'm not worried at all about this team not wanting to succeed. I think this team absolutely wants to succeed. And I think that there's no shortage of confidence on this team. I mean, look how they carry themselves. I think they're quite confident. I do kind of agree that Rizzo looks tired, but I think you get into the playoffs and he's going to, I mean,
find his energy.
Yes.
Find the energy that he needs. I do, you know, like it, they have experienced a tough time with leaving men on base lately. It seems like to me, but yeah, it's not like it's been like that all season long.
Right. Yeah. This next one comes from Jason in Korea. Says, we've heard all the arguments that Chris Bryant is too tall to play third base. Well, here are some defensive comparisons that may shock you. And basically compares Bryant to Donaldson, Frazier, Josh Donaldson, Todd Frazier, Brett Laurie, and Adrian Beltre. And basically the gist of it is that the numbers are pretty much the same across the board. There's a little bit of variance in there, I guess. But anyways, what Jason says is no one is talking about these guys going to play the outfield, but all but Beltre, who is 5'11", are listed at 6 feet and taller, and Todd Frazier is 6'3". And he said, yes, their numbers are statistically better, but not by much, and Chris Bryant is still a rookie. Can we put the question of if he should play third base to rest?
Well, I think the question of can he play third and the question of should he play third are kind of two different, because, and I think this pressure comes a lot because of the massive infield depth that the Cubs have.
Right.
So really the question is, like, can somebody else play third better, not can Chris Bryant play third? I think he's proven himself.
So what you're saying is the question is, what are we going to do with all these shortstops?
Exactly. Given that, and then when he's played outfield, he's played pretty well defensively, so he can play wherever they put him. But, like, you know, defensively, I'm pretty sure Baez could probably play a better third than Bryant. But what works and what fits, that's kind of what they're figuring out.
Yeah, and I think that I kind of agree. Like, I have no problem with Chris Bryant staying at third base, but I think if, like you said, if it means being able to slide Baez into the order somehow, and there's a spot for him, for Bryant to move to the outfield, then I like that idea. But at the same time, I think that, you know, they're just, because players are all a certain height doesn't mean that each of them can get down on ground balls exactly the same. And so, yes, they may all be the same height, but maybe, I mean, Andy and I are the same height, but I can clearly get down on a ground ball better than Andy can.
Well, partly it's because of I'm packing so much heat that it's hard to bend over that far. Corey, I mean, he doesn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, well, I can vouch for, you know, I think Chris and I are pretty similar height, so
he can get down on a ground ball better than you.
On a hot grounder.
Yeah.
I'm a little slow.
So it, I don't know. I mean, I definitely see what you're saying, Jason. And I think that Chris Bryant's proven that he can play third base and he's adequate there. And if he were to stay there, especially with, you know, his where he's at physically now, I think it's just fine. But if it can make the lineup better by him moving to the outfield and moving around, then that's what I think they'll probably do. So. This next one comes from @NineTailNate, who I believe is watching live tonight. And
yeah, he's been talking about astronomy in the chat.
They say, how deflated was the crowd after the Pirates homer on Saturday? Is the fandom able to handle early trouble in a postseason game?
Yeah, I mean, the crowd definitely was a little silenced after that, but they made a comeback, you know, as the game went on from there. But at that moment, yeah, it was a little deflating to the fans, I could tell.
I think it was deflating just because the Cubs were having so much trouble with Liriano. And you kind of wondered whether or not they were going to be able to generate anything. However, so that I mentioned earlier in the episode that I kind of changed my mind about whether the Cubs should host the play-in game or if they would be better off on the road. And I talked few weeks ago about how I thought they'd be better on the road because I don't really trust Cubs fans to be able to handle their emotions if the Cubs were to go down early. However, after going to that game and seeing that at no point really did Cubs fans give up on that game, and the Cubs had really not generated any offense. I mean, they just weren't really doing anything. And so And granted, I was actually kind of surprised at how many people left in between the eighth and the ninth inning. And then in the middle of the ninth, I was surprised at how many people left. But the people that were there, I think were like looking for a comeback and rooting for it. And so maybe I was off. Maybe I thought, you know, if they're down 2 or 3 to nothing in the second or third inning, you know, you're going to have all these like old ladies in the crowd crying and all this and that. And it's just, you know, going to like suck the air out of Wrigley. I don't, the more I think about it, and after experiencing that game, I don't necessarily think that would happen. Because I think we have seen enough comebacks with this team that's kind of what we're expecting from them. So I don't know. I maybe changed my mind.
So basically, now that the home field wild card game seems pretty out of the question. Now you're changing your tune.
That's how
that it can't happen. I'll say that sure. I have confidence
right.
in
the Cubs fans. Right? Yeah. That's how I work. Don't you know that? Mm-hmm. Haven't you picked up on that, Kurt?
Yeah, I just wanted to point it out. So else
No, really, it was from being at that game and seeing like people cheering and everything. And really, like, it didn't feel like, even after that home run, I would not say that the air got sucked out of that ballpark. And so, and I was like, okay, so this is who the Cubs would probably be playing in that game. And so this is kind of like a replica of that scenario. And, yeah, I just don't think it. I don't know. I think fans have bought in, and they're not looking for those. Of course, we're going to get the curse thing beat into our heads for the next 2 weeks, week and a half. Yeah. So, I guess, you know, WGN and Paul Sullivan and everyone in the national media and everyone else will be planting seeds of doubt in Cubs fans' minds. But
yeah, because what the hell else are they going to write about?
Exactly. Yeah. Let's not write about how like this plan is coming together. We'd have to dig kind of deep for that. You know, we'd have to actually look at something. Let's talk about goats and Back to the Future. Chris from Pekin, he says, curious what your thoughts are on the post game celebration Saturday. On one side of the coin, they did flinch. They did clinch a playoff berth for the first time in 7 years, and it was cool that they were at home to be able to celebrate with the fans who deserve to be a part of it for sticking with the team all these years. On the other side, however, you just lost two extremely key games down the stretch that are helping determine your postseason path. Celebrating a 4-0 loss after losing the day before as well seems a little off to me. Curious how you guys see this, as amazing as it is to have made the playoffs and exceed expectations for such a young, talented team, it's hard for me to make up my mind on exactly how I feel about that celebration. He said, at least they didn't eat a goat though, right?
Maybe they did later.
That was in the clubhouse.
Man.
We kind of touched on this before.
Right, we did, yeah.
I mean, I could totally understand your reluctance. It didn't bother me too much, kind of, because it's kind of like what this team is. It's kind of like their brand. Like, they're the goofy, like, have
right.
fun.
Yeah. Yep.
Go nuts, like, you know, with the helmet rubbing and the bucket and all that stuff. And so,
well, and like, they do things that don't totally make sense. Cool for me. They do things that don't make sense. It does not make a sense to walk into a press conference with a freaking pink flamingo. It doesn't make sense. But it's just what this team is. And I think it's what's made...
It doesn't make sense to let Anthony Rizzo hold a leopard. right. Whatever the heck that was.
A snow leopard, excuse me.
They could like sever his arm.
Right. It just... So much about this team doesn't make sense, but it works for them. And I think it's what makes them endearing. And I think the fact that they're kids is what makes it so fun. And so that's one of the reasons that I did not have a problem with them celebrating. I wish that it would have happened on the field after a victory. I wish that would have clinched it, but it didn't work out that way. But I think they were still going to have fun. They were still going to throw a party. And I think that they wanted to include the fans. And so I had no problem with it. I definitely understand how, like, especially from an outsider's perspective, if you're a Cardinals fan and you look at that, you'd be like, okay, you lost two games to a team you're probably going to face in the playoffs. And you got shut out, and then you threw a champagne party on the field. I get how that looks weird, but I think if you know this team and you know their tendencies and their, I guess, just their personality, it really does fit with them.
I can't stand when I hear people say, oh, you lost your way into the playoffs or whatever. That's so stupid. Mm-hmm. The Cubs won their way into the playoffs. They deserve it. You know, one of the best records in baseball.
Right. Yeah. I've actually seen, like today, I saw something about the Cubs backing their way into the playoffs. It's like they clinched it like a week and a half early. That's not backing.
They clinched the second wild card. Usually, you know, up until the very last second.
Right. Look
you
at
know,
the people, AL. There's like three teams divided by, you know, separated by like a game and a half. But
yeah. And I was telling you guys in the car, I mean, that they're going to win 90 games. Over 90 games this season, and this is only like the fourth or fifth team in my lifetime that's won 90 games in a season. This team has destroyed this season.
Right. They have not backed into the playoffs at all. Okay, let's see. This is a question from Mike. He says, I have a hypothetical question I was thinking about the other day. Would you rather A, wake up to see the last out of the Cubs winning the World Series, but never be able to watch any part of the championship series? It's gone, no way to relive it, but you can celebrate the title for the rest of your life. Or B, be able to watch the whole season and the Cubs lose game 7 of the World Series. This includes, of course, the possibility of future titles, but none guaranteed.
I'm so lost.
So, okay, so would you rather see the Cubs? Okay, so from now, okay, you go into a coma right now, Kurt. Yeah. And you wake up.
This is so ridiculous. I don't care for it. But at least you chose Kurt to be the coma victim and not me. That's cool.
While you were sleeping, Kurt, while you were sleeping, you wake up and you get to see the last out of the Cubs winning the World Series. But you can't go, like, apparently there's no tape on the championship series. Right. You cannot go back and watch it.
Okay.
Or would you rather the Cubs lose in game 7 of the World Series?
If we could eliminate the coma, then I choose victory.
Somebody in the chat says drunk coma or brain injury coma.
Just ate too much turkey on Thanksgiving, or
because even though you might not be able to see it, though, you'd still have people telling you about it all the time, how great it was. You'd be like, yeah, I saw the last out,
right?
I was in a coma, and then people would be like, whoa, you're in a coma. See, good story.
I'm not able to suspend my disbelief on this question. I mean,
you have to select winning, you can't lose game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah, I guess I'd go with them winning and me not being able to relive it, just for the benefit of the rest of the Cubs fans out there. They all got to experience it, so that's awesome. Tim says Papelbon choked you and you just woke up.
Yes, there's your hypothetical.
So I think I miss everything except for the last out, just so that all Cubs the rest of the Cubs fans out there can experience it.
Because then they're going to win another one after that, and you'll see that one. And then we don't have to hear about all this curse BS.
Right, yep. So, Andy, you refuse to answer?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah,
Stuart called me our benevolent overlord.
What?
I like that.
He said our, so I think that includes him.
Right, because I'm giving up my... I'm giving up so everyone else can enjoy it.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Benevolent.
He's gifting it to you all.
Yeah. When you guys email me, I would like you to, instead of Corey, comma, at the beginning, just benevolent overlord.
Oh, my God.
Okay. This is from Kevin. He says, hey, guys, this has been the most memorable Cubs season that I have ever experienced. There have been so many highlights in this amazing year, and I'm wondering what some of your favorites were. My personal favorite this season was the Arrieta shutout game, where the Cubs won 1-0 off an Arrieta solo home run, proving this guy can do it all, which he did again tonight. Ridiculously excited for the playoffs. Go Cubs. And that's Kevin from Toronto. And so then he also says that this would be a great question for all of you listening to answer through our voicemail line. And I agree. What a great question. Cause I think everybody's got their opinion on it. So, the question is, what is the most, I guess, what would have been your highlights for this 2015 season? What the moments that stand out to you? If you have our free app, on iOS or Android, it's in the iOS App Store and the Google Play Store. It's a free app, so just search IVMV and it's there. And then if you tap on contact the show and then call the show, that's our voicemail line, and you can leave your voicemail. If you happen to mess up, just say, hey, erase this one. I'm gonna do another one or something. I mean, obviously, we're not going to embarrass you or anything like that. Otherwise, you can call our voicemail line, and that number is 309-517-0624. That's 309-517-0624. So what are your guys' answers?
Well, I mean, I think there's the obvious performance, you know, the big plays and the big moments that involve excellence on the field of play, you know, like, you know, Arrieta's no hitter and, you know, the walk off wins and things like that, like the Addison Russell's diving stop to win the game not too long ago, stuff like that. But
against the Cardinals,
I think one of the things that, you know, some of the things that are going to stick with me the most is all the just the funny moments, the moments of levity that a lot of these players have created and, you know, brought into our lives. For example, I was thinking of the Castro mirroring play.
Yes. Yep. That was going to be one of mine.
Earlier this season, I was thinking of the Rizzo It's Magic slide after having a magician in the clubhouse earlier in the day. Anything with Miggy and his interaction with fans on Twitter, you know, and starting the We Are Good hashtag and hashtag Wow with two O's. You know, that's the kind of stuff that's really going to stick with me. Of course, I'll remember the moments of excellence on the field of play, but.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I agree. It's those types of things. I think the mirroring play, I think, will always stick with me. And I think as far as like what happens, I guess just like amazing moments. Jake Arrieta throwing a no hitter while we were recording, I thought was amazing. And so that I think would have to be like the highlight for me is that. Mm-hmm. The fact that it happened while we were recording this podcast and actually cut our episode short so we could watch the ninth inning. But yeah, other than that, Rizzo standing on the wall, but I think the mirroring play was just incredible. So what do you think, Kurt?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd have to choose the no hitter as well. And then, I mean, there's been a ton of walk-off wins, but the walk-off wins, especially the one when Strope ran down third base along side Bryant. Or was it Bryant?
Yeah, I think it was Bryant.
Yeah. And that was
pretty, oh yeah, the high amazing. Step trot.
Kind of like a combination of both what Andy was talking about with like how goofy they are and all that fun stuff, and then like an amazing moment and a walk off win. So
a lot of those walk offs had such goofy moments too, even the other ones, like with Miggy like kicking players in the butt, and then them like carrying Dino like Superman style sideways, you know, with the rally buckets. I mean,
yeah, good stuff.
Trevor falling down on a home run.
Oh yeah,
and then getting up and just
being like, and then Rizzo acting, you know, like he laughing. Shot him, like it was a sniper.
Yeah, that's pretty hilarious.
Oh man, were you guys watching the game this week when Schwarber fouled off a ball and it went behind him and came back and hit him in the chest? It bounced.
I heard it on the radio.
It was hilarious. Like he has got to be. I love Schwarber because I think he's got to be like the klutziest guy on the team. But he fouled it off and it like bounced like way up high, like off the net, and then came back and hit him in the chest. And he kind of like held his chest for a second. So hilarious. Oh man. So Kurt, you have a scary stat of the week for us, correct?
I do. It's about our boy Jake. And since July 12th, Jake Arrieta has hit two home runs. And also since July 12th, Jake Arrieta has allowed two home runs. And that's in 105 1/3 innings. And in that time, his ERA is 0.85. And it's actually probably a little lower by maybe a couple points because of today's performance. So that's pretty incredible. He's hit as many as he's allowed since July.
I really think you could, like, I think you could, we could continue with scary stats in this off season, and it could just be the Jake Arrieta scary stat of the week.
It could be. Yeah. Yeah. It's just silly. This is one of those things as we keep watching and, like, you know, he's pitching now, it's sort of surreal. Like, I kind of can't believe that anybody could be this good for this long.
I know. That's what we were saying, I think, before you got in the blab here tonight. Andy and I were talking, and it's like, it's just like, he has been like, he has been the best. Like, I mean, just like, like, historically amazing since July. And it's like, just, it's absurd. You look at the numbers and it's just absurd. And,
you know, I
feel like we're almost taking it for granted, even though we're not. Mm-hmm. I feel like we still kind of are taking it for granted.
Yeah, there was a funny Twitter exchange, Buster Olney. Somebody tweeted at him basically complaining about the fact that ESPN, just all they talk about is Jake Arrieta. And Buster replied, like, please explain to me how we'd cover this game without talking about Jake Arrieta. And he just, like, went back at him. And this dude was probably a Cardinals fan or something, but was upset that they were spending too much time on Arrieta.
Man, he's so good.
Yeah.
All right. Do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
I've been looking for them. I don't really have any, but I will point out I've been looking at Cubs Facebook, and it's kind of cool to see there are fans from a lot of other teams wishing the Cubs luck in the playoffs. And so it's kind of nice to see people not being jerks completely. You know, there are some trolls on here, of course, but
yeah. Well, I have one, and it is someone being a jerk. Well, not being a jerk, just being a flexer, I guess. And this comes from our favorite Facebook group, which will go unnamed, but you know which group I'm talking about. And this person says, my true Cubs fans should know this. And first off, to stop right there, I love it when people judge the fandom of other fans. It's a wonderful thing. And if a social media post starts with, you know, true Cubs fans know this, then chances are, like, there's like a 90% chance it will lead to an internet muscle flex. It's pretty much guaranteed. Yeah. And in the chat, they mentioned the Grimm engagement. Dude, there was some, that was some ridiculous stuff, about, 'cause Justin Grimm got engaged. This doesn't have anything to do with that, but, I'm sure you guys saw some of those comments on the Grimm engagement picture on social media. That's so nuts. But anyways, okay. So my true Cubs fans should know this. Just think, if the Cubs had Josh Donaldson, but drunk coach Lou traded him away. Wow, what a bad trade for us.
Drunk Lou, boy.
True, yeah, Cubs Lou fans.
Lou made so many bad trades.
True Cubs fans. Like, and these are the dudes that, like, just think they know everything. And, you know, I think we're like, I hope, like, people don't see us that way. Like, for the record, I am well aware that I do not know everything. I'll be the first to admit that, but man. Drunk Lou traded him away.
So many.
So that does it for this episode, which is brought to you by all 106 of our Patreon supporters. Patreon is like Kickstarter for bloggers and podcasters and YouTubers, and your support through Patreon helps us cover our costs. It helps us upgrade equipment, and it helps us improve everyone's IVMV experience. We'd like to thank our Hall of Fame level contributors, Jeremy, Dave, Dizzle, David, Jeremy, Chad, Todd, Dave, Adam, Elizabeth, Dallas, Charles, Steven, Stewart, Guy, Peter, Jeff, Matthew, Jane, Shane, Michael, John, Craig, Rick, Luke, Artie, Kevin, Tori, Josh, and our associate producers are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfliss, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Andrew Gross, Tim Marr, Jason in New Mexico, Tristan Nichols, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. We have a few new supporters to thank this week, and actually we saw both of them yesterday. Heather in Chicago and Elizabeth in Elgin. Elgin joined the campaign this week, and the ladies of IVMV are representing. That's pretty cool. So if you're thinking, wow, these guys, you know, they just churn out a lot of audio content on the Cubs, and they're pledging to do a post-game show after every Cubs playoff game, I should pledge a little support to them. You can do so by going to patreon.com/IVMV. The pledging levels start at just $1 a month, just pocket change for you, and it does help us out a lot. And there's perks at every level, different forms of IVMV gear and stuff like that. So go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So the Cubs have a makeup game tomorrow with the Royals. They're hosting them at Wrigley tomorrow night. And then they head to Cincinnati to play the Reds. Andy and I will be back on Thursday night to talk about these games. And until then, go Cubs. About damn time, we're gonna pop champagne by the lakeside when the evening comes. When the stars align, we're gonna pop champagne, gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.
Hey guys, this is Dawn from Plainfield, and I wanted to call in. I just actually stopped at the podcast to give you guys a call. Right at the point in the show when you guys were talking about the Cubs fans that seem to have a little bit of a freak-out meter or who ping high on the freak-out meter. And Corey had said something about the fact that he believes that many of those fans are the same fans that for the last however many years weren't really on board with the rebuild or couldn't wrap their heads around the rebuild, that those are the same fans now that can't wrap their heads around the Cubs' success and their all gloom and doom. And I just wanted to take a little bit of issue with that, because I do think there's a lot of fans who just like to go back to the old narrative that, oh, the Cubs will always blow it, the Cubs will always blow it. But I look at myself and, you know, I consider myself to be a fairly informed fan. I'm certainly no expert, but I definitely am more informed, I think, than the average bandwagon fan. And I have been 100% on board with the rebuild, and it's been very exciting to watch. But, you know, I'm 43 years old, and I became a fan of this team in 1984 when I was just, you know, a little kid. And those guys, it was heartbreaking. I mean, it broke my heart as a little kid. And then it broke my heart again and again and again. And it's hard, and you are fearful a little bit of the heartbreak again. But it doesn't stop you from rooting for the team, and it doesn't stop you from wanting them to have success. But I think that feeling is really hard to shake. And I think especially with this group of players, this particular 2015 team for me, I don't know that I've ever loved a team more. I've never wanted a team to see success more than this team. And I think it's easy to become very emotionally involved. You know, you root so hard for these players, and you don't want your heart broken, but you don't want their heart broken either, which I guess doesn't make any sense because they're big boys. I'm sure their hearts really aren't going to be broken, but I don't know. I maybe that's just how I look at it, but I think it's hard to let that go. And so going into this, I for one, still have this feeling like waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I don't want to be that person, because I am enjoying the season so much. And honestly, however the season ends, this has been a great season. I think I'll be okay. But I just think that's where some Cubs fans are coming from. And I don't think, I guess I don't know where I'm going with that, but I think sometimes you got to give us a break. The Cubs fans who just quite can't let the worst case scenario go. So you got to give us a break, but in the end, we're all rooting and cheering, and this has been the best season ever. And I can't even believe how blessed we are to watch it. So that's it. Hopefully in a couple weeks, we'll be laughing at this voicemail as we're celebrating a World Series victory. So
Anyway, that's it. Have a great day. Bye.
Hey guys, it's Andrew from Nebraska. I just wanted to leave a quick message for a story that I had. I was at a bar talking to a Cardinals fan, and he was basically the entire time, it was really weird. He kept like pounding it like, yeah, you guys got this. And it was like really weird. And like, he was trying to tell me like his most basic point that he was trying to, I remember this is the point that the conversation, ended, is he looked at me and he said, you know what the problem with the Cubs this year is that they don't know how to appreciate a farm system, and they don't know how to raise these players. And then I looked at him and I walked away. You guys are an idiot, right? All right. See you later.